Let us begin again in the name of the indwelling presence, the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent indwelling Spirit. Amen. I'll be reading from today's Holy Gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading the passage three times. You're invited to listen in the manner of Lectio Divina. Listening for the shimmering presence of the Spirit speaking to you. Perhaps something about your life and your journey now. Perhaps a work idea. How is the Spirit speaking to you this evening? Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it, and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you." Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey or second tunic or sandals or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you." This is the good news. O God, when I found your words, I devoured them. I took them in and combined with them, and they became the happiness and the joy of my life. Amen. What did you hear? Anna, thank you.
I heard instructions to work on oneself, cure the sick, cleanse the lepers, all raise the dead, all within me. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with others. And then I heard to non-identify because it's at no cost to receive or to give. And then I heard to self-remember and not to lose force. Your peace will come back to you. The only way to not lose force is to self-remember.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. David, please.
This past just had so much in it. And what landed on me was talking about entering the house and bringing peace. And a little further along, it talks about if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. And I found that what landed for me, it's just been dark night of the senses. There's no other way to put it lately. It's been a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of energy coming up. And what landed for me was hopeful when I heard that. It was, at first it's, well, I'm not worthy of peace, or versions of me aren't worthy of peace. But then if I spun it around and thought of it from God's perspective, it was, it is all worthy. So it's just an opportunity for me to see the worthiness and let that peace naturally come in those areas.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. Catherine, in front.
Well, I heard several things, but one of them that struck me was stay there until you leave, which obviously that's what that's the only thing you could do. But it felt like it was more of a like an inner taste to stay with an observation of something as long as it's serving you, and then leave when it doesn't anymore.
Wow, thank you. Mark, right behind you.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do to leave without leaving. So I have a list of them if you want. But that's what just, man, just grabbed me. Stay until you leave. And I couldn't quite locate the work in it, although I think that made a lot of sense. But I just heard presence, like, you know, to be present and to actually be there, to choose it. I guess that's work, to choose where you are. And, the dark night continues and I can choose it. I can stay there until I leave.
Right. If you can help it, will it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Catherine, over here.
I heard the kingdom of heaven is upon us, and then I heard at no cost, and then I heard let your peace come back to you or return to you. Mm-hmm. And then the last time you read it, I said it all together. The kingdom of God is at hand, at no cost. Let your peace return to you. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so nice. Oh, thank you. And it just, it sounds so simple. Just let your peace return to you. The kingdom of God is at hand, at no cost. It costs you nothing. And then I thought of the prayer, we joyfully receive and freely give. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Beautiful. Thank you. Shannon, please, over here.
I heard quite a few opportunities to be empty, so to not take the second tunic and the coins and these sorts of things. So, I mean, what an opportunity of a lifetime to really be at the space of emptiness and nothingness. And from that place to, when it said, look for a worthy person, in the house for me, that was listen for, be still for those higher impressions. Be available and awake to those from that space of emptiness. And then give your peace to that. Give your attention to that. But be moved in the space of nothingness. Be moved from that place. And you'll know. It will feel like a higher impression. It will feel worthy of my attention. And if it doesn't, just keep returning to the stillness over and over.
Amen. Thank you. Frank.
I was struck by the without cost portion of the reading and the need for gratitude and the often failure to see it. And also the passing it on without cost. How difficult that is to do. How this one has a bunch of eyes that want to be appreciated or rewarded. And very, very hard to pass on things without cost. Also heard when they were directed to look for a worthy person that that might be a worthy eye about around which to begin to gather. And I'm also struck by the comment that the worker, about the worker, that the worker shall receive, and yet they were told to bring nothing, to bring nothing. So it was interesting. I found, what are they going to give the worker other than love? Because that's all they have.
Yeah, related to that is the work idea. Don't work for results. We don't work for results. And what tags on to that for me, what I heard on in a new way was an expression of the fourth way. That we are called forth, called out into life. We play the part that's been given to us,
And yet we don't work for results. We trust. We trust. And we play our part. We know third force is there. We wish to remember third force, that peace coming back. Second force is lawful. It's part of growing, transforming, evolving as Christ. Yes, Pasquale. Over here.
Yeah, what resonated with me was the part about do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, or a second tunic or sandals or walking stick. And it reminded me of one of the early parts in the work that had really resonated with me about A, influences,
mm-hmm.
Created by life, forms of education that belong to the period that we are brought up in, and the viewpoints that belong to the particular age in which a man is born, and these are what form personality that the essence feeds on. And so they're not bad necessarily, but for the purposes of the spiritual journey, the transformation, these aren't going to, from my interpretation, these aren't going to do us much good on the spiritual journey. So that's what I equate to the copper in your belt and the walking stick and these, you know, packing these preparations,
mm-hmm.
Amassing knowledge and wisdom. But it reminded me of a prayer that was given to me a while ago called the set-aside prayer. It's, God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, about spiritual growth, about whatever it is, money, finances, women, I mean, and help me set these things aside and have an open mind so I can have a new experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's a first conscious shock prayer. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a first conscious shock prayer. What's all my stuff? What is that stuff psychologically, Camille?
The list of things that the apostles were told not to take, to me, spoke of supportive things. Yeah. And I relate especially to the walking stick, because trekking poles are very supportive for me if I'm carrying a heavy weight, especially. But money goes a long way too, and sandals and things like that. But they didn't need external support because the kingdom of God was within them.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that says, if we have all these outer things that are obvious to other people that, oh yeah, you have all this support, maybe it's not as easy for those other people to see the kingdom of God within
mm-hmm.
us.
Yes.
And we are they were demonstrating their dependence on that kingdom, as well as the good people that they came mm-hmm. across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That spoke to me.
Thank you. And isn't it interesting that they were asked to do great things, but they were told they needed nothing but themselves, their being, go forth with your being presence alone. All your skills, all your ideas, all your stuff, you don't need it. Go forth. And that's an aim for everyday life.
Rather astounding that they weren't going to just barely make it. They were going to do miracles.
Right.
Astounding things.
Right.
I haven't seen any of that done with my physical eyes. So it's, you know, it's yes. kind of big.
Yeah.
With their being. Yeah, I like that.
Right. Well, and the work defines a miracle as the higher breaking through into the lower. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he said. The higher is here. Here, in the ordinary. Bob, did you want to add to that? Yes.
I was keeping it really simple. The kingdom of heaven is now, and I immediately thought of, wake up!
Right. Right. Yeah, and he said that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Pamela.
I've had a rather unusual week where my house flooded on the 4th of July, and I have pretty much nothing or next to nothing in a hotel for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel similar to those disciples, because a year or so ago I prayed for everything in my life to change. Mm-hmm. Be pretty darn careful about what you pray for, because you just might get it. And I've been struggling through the course of the last year, but I didn't expect the house flood. And it makes me feel like those disciples that really don't have anything. And you are empowered by the power of our universe to go forward and be the embodied person for the power you've already aligned yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And, sister, it ain't easy. but I'm still doing it. And I didn't even want to come here because I kind of got sideways with a friend yesterday, because I was a mess. But I'm here because we are a community, and that you are here with me, and that we get to have conversations like this.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important. And I just... you know, I'm not exactly the people with just sandals and no walking stick. I mean, I do have a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know where the entire contents of my house is right now. And mm-hmm. I prayed for a new direction for my life, mm-hmm. and I got it. And I'm going to keep on walking.
sandals, walking stick, I just really don't give a darn.
Amen.
So that's my gig.
Freedom.
See.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very rich. It's great after a passage like that to reflect on the fact that our aim was to flow like water. So that may be another way of restating that gospel. Flow like water. In the silence of self, to flow like water. And we read last week just a little piece of a commentary in Volume 4 that was reminding us that the work is all about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And that this work is about discovering that and revealing the presence of real I, or Christ, within us. And then we read an excerpt from David Hawkins, where he, in different words, talked about the silence of self. And part of the silence of self is removing the energy that is animated and juiced by negativity and internal considering. And so we continued the aim from the prior week of practicing this form of self-remembering, silence of self, flowing like water. What did you learn? What did you see? Thank you, Lynn.
This weekend, I was very much looking forward to my grandchildren coming to visit. And I went and prepared and bought a lot of the food that I know that they liked. I thought of different activities that we could potentially do when they got there. I just was looking forward to spending time with them. And they arrived. And then I did okay in the beginning, but towards the end of the visit, I began to feel irritable. I felt like we were not maintaining the schedule that I had put together before they came on what we were going to do. And it was not until I said something sharp to one of them that something just shifted immediately. And I remembered. It was also a time where even the aim of silence of self came to mind, because I realized that I was tense. I was trying to do things according to what I thought we ought to be able to be doing. My body was tense. But at that moment, with the shift, I could just suddenly relax. It was as if I had taken a deep breath.
Yes.
And for the rest of the time, I was relaxed with them, and we no longer had to stay on schedule, but rather I could just be with them. Yeah. And they were quite happy with being there in my house and playing with toys rather than, you know, doing activities. So that was very much of an example for me of noticing and remembering.
Yes, thank you. That's wonderful. I would say you also lived the gospel where you came to a moment where you left all the stuff and it was just being to being. And then there was freedom for everybody, yourself included. That's wonderful. Thank you. Camille.
When I read that about flowing like water, eventually as I was cogitating on that, I had the realization that flowing like water is very different than floating on water. Mm. And water is the flow. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are obstacles that it comes upon, but it, you know, it either piles up on the rock and flows over or it goes completely around. And when, I don't know that this applies to a leaf, but if you're paddling a boat on flowing water, you're trying to position yourself so that you go on the side of the rock that you choose to go on. And it takes planning and it takes, you know, forethought, all kinds of stuff that we normally do. But that's not flowing like water. Mm-hmm. And the flow, it's kind of like being in the zone, mm-hmm. I think. And it is operating from our being. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how to do that, you know, on a consistent basis. But it's quite meaningful to me to think about it.
Yes. Well, the one of the places to apply it to being is to feel into times of resistance. So that's not flow. It's againstness. It's a no instead of a yes. And those are usually pretty concrete moments. This week I learned it's easier to love a troublesome dog than a troublesome human being.
No kidding.
And so there was a request from a house guest, and there was a really full schedule and a full to-do list and a sense of pressure. And yet there was this aim. And the minute the aim came in, just like what Nicole said last week, just there was this relaxation of the tension, relaxation of the expectation. There was willingness to be of service, to assist with the request. And in fact, all night long, I dreamed of flowing like water. There was it stayed with me through sleep. There was just this sense of freedom. And then the next day, suddenly there was no will. The will to remember
was gone. And there was internal considering and resentment. And suddenly this distance between the aim and the will and the desire to love and the ability to love. It was that chasm that Nicol talks about in his dream that's filled with old bones. And that's what it felt like. It felt like this abyss where I could see and feel the possibility, but in the human condition was stuck. And yet the act of granting the request happened, but not with an open heart. It happened with cold silence. Which, of course, there might as well be a billboard with all of my resentments written on it. But there was, the whole time, the light was on it. And it really brought up a question for me of the will, which is what I want to talk about later. So then I really had a question of what happened to the will in that moment. And we'll come back to that. But what, so life as a school, what I did learn from that moment is the wish to serve, the wish to love, the wish to flow, to have that peace return to me was even deeper. So it was, in a sense, that that whole Leela had a lot of goodness to bring back to me. So then I can make a future memory to choose differently. And that's the laying the breadcrumbs of will out in the future. So that's my wish. Yes, Marcia, thank you.
I feel like I'm involved in a power struggle with somebody I care about deeply, and I'm in their business, and I can't seem to stop it. You know, I think it's tied to some feeling, well, if they loved me, they would do whatever I wanted them to do, which has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess my wish is to step back and just let spirit take care of it and run its course.
Yes.
And and as this friend of mine says, it's not my chickens and monkeys. You know, it's really none of my business.
Yeah.
But I don't like what they're doing, and it affects me. Mm. But I still have to let it go.
Right, and then you're back to, if you can't help it, will it? Which is very difficult medicine.
You mean just say I'm going to do it anyway, no matter what?
No, it's... you can't control the other person. That's what you started off by saying. And things are happening in the only way they can. And your wish is to let it be?
Yeah.
Yes.
And to not feel the need to control anything.
Right. So that's where the will remains, and just wishing, turning the will back to the wish and willing that rather than willing that something change.
Willing that I let go.
Yes. Knowing that it can with third force.
Yeah.
You know, that opening, allowing, flowing.
peace returning.
Yeah,
trust.
I'm giving myself a lot of second force.
Right, right. And that's great that you can own that the second force is in you and not out there. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. What else? Anna. Right back here, Marcia. No, Anna, back here.
I'm glad that you brought up will, because it feels that if you lose will, there is no flow of water,
mm-hmm.
at least for me. I thought that my spiritual path has succinct patterns to it. If I just stick to my centering prayer twice a day, go to the work class, work, make effort, that I'm on this path. I'm continually propelling, but somewhere along the way, something was lost. And I recognized it's the will to stay on this course. And the water is not flowing. I'm in this empty, not moving, isolated place, and there's no movement of any kind. There's loss of will. Even making it here to the work class lately has been 50-50. I've been doing my twice daily centering prayer for so many years, for 7 years. I was solid. Nothing could deter that will to sit, not even critical care. You know, I was going to do it. Then all of a sudden, one day, something happened, and it felt like will is gone. So I'm trying to picture the flow of water this week, and I just felt there is no flow. And I get it. I get that we all come to this impasse. I know what it means. Now, at least, it didn't feel good. And then there is that. There is that to bear that emptiness and wait. The bearing of that emptiness and the wait is probably one of the most horrible thing I've ever experienced. There was no joy, even. It felt like I had to go out and look for the joy because there's no consolation. I thought there was a thing that would continue to give me that thing, whatever it was, you know, the feeling of love, the feeling of happiness and joy when it comes to being in this community and serving. There is none of that left. And for me, that sense just left and there's this emptiness. So this week, exploration for me has just been waiting in this emptiness. But as I remember, Barbara always said, it will pass and do it anyway. So for me, it's just being in this place of no flow.
Well, it is beyond... The flow is beyond the capacity to sense it. So now you're getting somewhere. Welcome to the second octave of the journey. So there were 7 years, and then a change. And Father Thomas says the greatest experience of God is no experience of God.
because it's beyond the psychological and the sensory. And so then the... Do you have will to God?
There is a deep desire still to know, to understand that. But that's all that's left.
That's great. Bernadette says, as long as you have will to God, you're good to go. And I hold on to that wisdom. Like even this week, looking at the Leela that happened, I asked myself, is there will to God? And it's an unequivocal yes. So the you use the word propelling, the nature of the will changes. And we talked about that, I think last class, where there's much effort in the beginning, and then less effort is necessary. Surrender. The will moves and shifts to a different plane. Did you have something, Frank?
Yeah, for this one, it is a time of patience. And just over and over and over again, recognizing that no answer is an answer. You just need to wait. And, you know, I think the work teaches that patience is the mother of will.
Yes.
It leaves room. And that's the key, it seems, to this one, to leave some room. Because the propensity is to panic and to want to reach out and grab. Fear of loss. And the answer is always patience, my son. Patience. All things in time. Because it certainly doesn't come on this one's schedule. And every time I try to impose one, it just is an exercise in insanity.
Right. Lunacy.
Lunacy. Complete lunacy.
Thank you. So, delight. What about that? Tracy.
Okay, I was just going to share about just a completely delightful experience this week. So we had a brass bowl down in Theosis Chapel that was a really high note, and I asked Peter if we could get one that sounded more like the one in here, kind of softer, lower. And I had more fun going to this store in town and practicing, you know, just testing all the different bowls. It was so much fun.
Yes.
And then I had seen somewhere, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, but the mallet can have a piece of leather on it that softens it more. Mm-hmm. And the mallet that came with it didn't have leather on it, so, you know, Hobby Lobby and asking the assistant if they had any leather and cutting the leather and making it just right. I was so excited through this whole process. It was just delightful. Anyway,
yeah.
The sound now in Theosis Chapel is just exquisite.
Yes. So that's an invitation I hear. Thank you. Thank you for your loving attention to the detail. What else? Yes, Joseph.
So I was going to share, similar to you having your grandkids visit, I had my sister's kids staying with me this weekend, and similarly to your schedule, we were going to go to the Thinkery, and we had this all planned out, big expectations, oh, it's going to be great, the Thinkery is going to be so much fun, and sure enough, those expectations did what they do, and it was just sitting around. The kids had fun, but every parent and every adult was just in this not flowing state of like, all right, is anyone hurting themselves? And just, you can just feel that energy of no one, there's no joy. And the kid in me was so frustrated with all these adults, like, come on, this is fun for us. We should be able to have fun. But even I couldn't break through that energy of like, well, we're the adults, let's stand around and be statues or nerves. Anyway, and then the next day, we just had no agenda and wandered out to a creek near my house, the irony of the flowing like water, and just let the kids explore. And there's like broken glass and trash and, you know, a little bit of sewage runoff where you're like, I don't know if this is okay, but it was also a place for me where suddenly I hadn't been. They said, oh, can we go down this way? And suddenly in me it was that real excitement of like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I want to go explore that. And suddenly I was on their level, and you mentioned delight, and that was the piece that suddenly got me flowing. It was like actually excited about this, not setting up, all right, are they going to have fun? Let's make sure they're having a good time. It was me dropping into that place of real like delight of like, oh, this is exciting, and then we're all on the same page, and they can feel that from me, that I'm here with them instead of expecting them. Or,
yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What else? Mark.
One was, I got a birthday card from my wife that said on the front, it appears you don't suck. And it just made my day. Because I thought I did. So. And then my son's card was so sweet. He said, there's no other father I'd rather have, except maybe Andy Griffith. And I thought that was a good being number two to him. And the last was my son Dakota, who came here as a third grader. Mm-hmm. And he just texted me this letter that he's going to seminary. And it wasn't about the seminary or being good or doing anything. It was just something about the path, and that's unexplainable, and you can't calculate it. Mm-hmm. And there's no, it's beyond, is beyond it. It's just saying, oh, there's something that's at work that's much greater. So that brought a lot of delight.
Yeah. 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 Let's talk a little bit about will, which was my question this week. And this isn't willpower. It's something different. So I just want to read a couple of things and then have a discussion. First of all, one of the things that I saw this week that really struck me on Wednesday, it was the Feast of Saint Benedict. And this was what was written about him in one of the missals. Whereas earlier monastic experiments had stressed rigorous asceticism and self-denial, Benedict's rule was designed for ordinary human beings. The element of discipline was shifted from externals to the interior, from the flesh to the will. In place of an emphasis on fasting and mortification, Benedict substituted the discipline of humility, obedience, and accommodation to community life. And I thought that that movement from the external to the internal, from the flesh to the will, is exactly the movement we're working on here. It was another way of restating that for me. And in the beginning of one of his books, David Hawkins makes this statement that the spiritual will is of utmost importance on the journey. The development of the spiritual will. And I began to think about, well, what is spiritual will as opposed to willpower? What does that mean? So in some places in the commentary, Nichol says that our will is what we love. That we can tell where our will is by what we love. Which directly correlates with what Bernadette says when she says, will to God is everything. So love of God, if there's love of God, that's everything. You know that your being is oriented in the right direction and that all else will be given. The next thing that came across was this quote. We all know how long first of the year resolutions usually last. That is because our resolve simply does not go deep enough. We mean what we say, but our subconscious mind objects. I'm not a party to this. That vow is a purely intellectual decision arrived at without consulting me. Don't count on me for support. So we would say the multiplicity isn't in on the game. That there's the multiplicity is full of small wills with their own agendas. And when we make an intention, it's one part of us. It could be work eyes, deputy steward, steward, but the multiplicity is not on board. So he goes on to say, in deep meditation, however, you can get your subconscious to sign on the dotted line. Then your resolution becomes unbreakable. What you say, what you think, and how you feel are one.
It is said of Mahatma Gandhi that what he thought, what he did, and what he lived were all the same. So his will could not be broken even by the greatest empire the world has seen. And that's a quote from Ekneth Esrawan. So the work also says the will is putting into practice what we know. So that's work on the side of being, putting into practice what we know. So every week when we set aims, we're trying to put in practice what we have learned and shared together in ordinary life. A house guest comes, there's a request, I'm busy, and who am I going to be? What's the choice? There's a clear choice. Observing eye is present. You can see the choice. There's resistance. You can see the reactions of the multiplicity. And then there's the chasm. The chasm of the wish and the deed and the feeling and the thoughts to all line up as one. So this is from Rodney Collin, The Theory of Conscious Harmony. In order to come to a choice, each person has to examine herself in the deepest way. And this necessity is the best thing that can happen to one, even though one may not feel ready to meet it. In some way, we have to find conscience in ourselves. If we can find it, this will tell us what our attitude must be. Nothing else, no obedience, imitation, logic, fear, is going to help. Somehow we have to shake conscience awake. There is no guide but our conscience, or nearest to it, our deepest inner convictions. There is no guide but our conscience, or nearest to it, our deepest inner convictions. Conscience is the one thing we must find, and it will never fail us. So conscience is feeling all together, the ability to access and feel all of the multiplicity together and choose to unify wish and aim and choose. And the choice is not one time, it seems to me. It seems that choice is a practice, and that's what we do with our aims. We practice. We practice work on the side of being. So what else about will? What else comes to you? What else does the work say about will? Anna. Microphone, please.
What you are describing as will to me is magnetic center. Mm. Something there, something ignited a while ago, years ago, and it stayed because everything else is the practice, you know, and even when that practice wanes, or what you call willpower wanes, mm-hmm. externally, mm-hmm. there's that deeper will, mm-hmm. that something tied to that magnetic center, I believe. That's what I'm feeling, because there's still that very wish to know. And that was what turned me onto the spiritual path in the first place. There's something I need to know. I want to know. What is that? And what is it that stopped me from looking externally and want to know internally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Does it make sense to you that there's something that maybe it's not the magnetic center itself, but something there? And I believe the magnetic center is in a higher emotional center. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, it's in the intellectual part of the emotional center, so the innermost part of the center. So the work says magnetic center got Anna here, but it doesn't keep her here. But what you said after that is what keeps you here, because you put it into play through practice, through wish, through community. You put it into play. And what I believe that magnetic center is that Christ consciousness. It's like the beginning parts of it awakening, and it's our true identity pulling us into the full potentiality of that, and that's the beginning of it. But you heard it. The yearning was deep enough, and then began to act on it and align life completely differently. Life was different 7 years ago.
Pretty drastically different.
Right. Yeah, mine too. Yes, Lauren, in the back.
This will that we are talking about, that sometimes is absent. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it returns most often for me when I re-surrender. Yeah. It seems like surrender is just not a one-time thing.
Right.
And the only way my will gets reignited, that I trust, is when I surrender again.
Yes.
And it's like all these eyes, I mean, 994, however many there are, but I mean, how many surrenders, it seems, and there's just around the corner, there's often a new one that I haven't surrendered before. And so sometimes I can't see anything. But as I was feeling blind, I remembered the goodness that happens sometimes when I'm able to surrender.
Yes, that's exactly it. Well said. When that surrender happens, that's a place of receptivity. In that receptivity, the spirit has a chance. And we went through a number of internal and external considering commentaries, because that's all about surrendering love of self. That's internal considering love of self. So where my will is, where what I love is where my will is, self-will, self-love, self-will. External considering love of other, pouring out love rather than keeping love, as if that's really love, but you know what I mean. Pardon me? You're right, right. What else? Yes, Shannon.
I find that my will is strengthened when I can really be and see clearly, or perhaps have an inner taste of something about myself that doesn't feel so good or look so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honest about that.
Yes.
And real about it, and I take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And I'm humbled by it. Over and over and over,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And that has the ability to strengthen my will.
Yes.
And say, thank God for that. I thought I knew.
Yeah.
And I had no clue.
Thank you. You described really beautifully how I felt after that little interchange. I felt really humbled. And yet, as I said, renewed in my wish. And I heard a really great little story that Gail Fitzpatrick Hoppler, who used to be the president of Contemplative Outreach and a longtime friend of Father Thomas, she said, he told, she was fussing about some humiliation, and he said, every humiliation is a practice in humility. Every humiliation is a practice in humility. And wouldn't you want that practice? And I just had a little bit of that, but like you said, to just be really honest about it, actually it becomes a source of strength. It becomes a source of renewed desire or wish, and enlivening. As the force leaks out, we can see the force leaks. To have wish reignited is enlivening, surprisingly so, at least in those kinds of circumstances. I want to read one last thing. And this will be our aim for this week. This is from Dr. David Hawkins. What is the most useful information to know? Is there a major key understanding? Answer. Resistance subsides when there is a clear understanding that what is being surrendered is not of intrinsic value, but is instead imagined to be of value solely because of the juice or payoff the ego extracts from that position. The principle of willingness need only be applied to the ego's payoff and not to the object or condition desired. One can ask oneself the question, is this worth giving up God for? Is this worth giving up God for? Thus, ego positionality has a price, which is where the willingness should be addressed. Ego positionality has a price, which is where the willingness should be addressed. And when I look back on just this little moment where I couldn't will what there was to do, when I couldn't work that principle, just will what there is to do, and in a way, that's giving up God. Because my heart closed. There's no self-remembering. There's no connection to the higher. Higher centers have no chance of being heard. And at least for me, I like to give myself really clear lines like that. Is this giving up God? Is this worth giving up God for? Is this worth leaving presence? Is this worth leaving love? And that takes away a lot of justification. There's just nothing that can stand up to that. There's no internal considering that can be justified. So that's the exercise in self-remembering. Just to ask ourselves, is this worth giving up God for? Any comments or questions?
Why would you consider giving up God?
Exactly.
That would be stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's use a microphone.
I loved that you equated, it was like a dot connected there, that is this worth leaving presence? Is the same, is this worth leaving God?
Yeah.
And the same where you can ask with absurdity, why would we give up God, yet we so easily give up presence?
We so easily walk away from love or connection. I mean, you can exchange a lot of words for that. Relationship. Understanding, acceptance. Patience. Anything else? Okay, thank you. So recollecting in body, mind, heart, feet on the floor. Reincarnating. Let's know together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. Thank you. Surrendered in the mystery, we bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. And may God grant us a quiet and restful night and a peaceful death. Amen.